Revelation 21. And we're thinking about heaven today. And in this passage, we're glimpsing into the future, into heaven, after Christ has come to judge everyone. And we're going to glimpse into the future to see what heaven is like. And it's like this. So Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. Let's listen to God's word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." This is the word of God. And do please grab your Bibles again and keep open Revelation 21. We'll be looking at that this evening. But before we do, let me pray for God's help as we hear his word. Heavenly Father, we cannot understand your word truly without the help of the Spirit. So we pray that you would be working in our hearts and our minds this evening. Please help us to focus, to truly understand your word, to be convicted. And we pray that our hearts and our eyes would be turned to Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I want you to picture heaven in your heads right now. Get a mental image of heaven, of what it looks like. Now, I wonder what you're picturing. Perhaps some of us might have in our heads kind of clouds in the sky with a golden gate, and everyone are kind of in white robes. Maybe they have wings, maybe harps. And I guess it's all a bit ethereal. Everyone on this planet, whether you believe in it or not, has some notion of heaven. So in 1992, Eric Clapton released a song called Tears in Heaven. You might have heard about it. And the song is all about Clapton's four-year-old son who died from falling out of a tower block window. And in the first line of the song, I won't sing it, he asks, "Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven?" So Clapton has in his mind, a place after death, a place called heaven. And for him, he longs for it to be a place where wrongs are made right, and where we can be reunited with our loved ones. But the problem is, it's a vague notion he has there. It's not based on anything except kind of a deep hope inside of him. A hope that there's got to be something. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once said, "In heaven, all the interesting people are missing." Now, in Nietzsche's mind, heaven isn't even really paradise. It's just a bit boring, a place where a goody two-shoes would go to live forever. And again, he has a vague notion of heaven there. a vague notion that's come from outside of him. He's heard about it and decided that he didn't like it. And the legendary Robbie Williams, he released a song in 2002 called Come Undone. And one of the lyrics goes, again, I will not sing this. One of the lyrics goes, I'm not scared of dying, I just don't want to. Here, we have the idea that heaven isn't ahead of us. It's not in the future. No, heaven is already here on earth. It's now. This is the best we'll ever get. So we kind of like, we need to make the most of heaven now while we're here. Well, whatever the belief, whether it's a nice heaven, a boring heaven, or no heaven at all, whatever the belief, there are two problems with this. Firstly, they're all plucked out of the air. They're just ideas conjured up from people's minds or from what they've seen on films or cartoons. So that's the first problem. But the second problem is they're just kind of abstract notions about heaven. They're just kind of theories. They're just abstract notions about the future, what might be there. But the idea of heaven bears no relevance on them today. They aren't living with heaven in their sights. And so in all this kind of misunderstanding and uncertainty, we need concrete answers to what heaven is and why it's so important to know. And so the question we're asking today is, what does the Bible say about life after death? And we're going to answer that particularly by thinking about heaven. We're going to glimpse into heaven this evening. We're going to set our eyes on what lies in eternity. And what we will find there is breathtaking. And hopefully we'll leave here this evening saying, I cannot wait for heaven. So why don't we find out? So the reading we've just had is from Revelation 21, and it's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And this passage is a glimpse into the future, into what heaven is like. And so what we're going to do this evening, we're going to break it down to see what the Bible says about heaven. And the first thing to see is that heaven means restoration. Heaven means restoration. So look to verses 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What happens after death, at the end of this age, is the restoration of creation. So all this vision in Revelation takes place after Christ has returned and judged all people, and he set eternity in motion. And so what that means, what that eternity means, is creation is restored to as it should be. So look at verse 1. There is a new heaven and a new earth. So the heaven where God reigns, and the earth that we're standing on right now, planet Earth, is made new. But don't think of it as like a kind of a replacement creation. This isn't kind of an entirely new earth taken off the shelf, and this one's kind of scrapped in the bin and we've got a new one instead. No. This is still the same earth, but it's just completely new in terms of quality. It's restored. It's rejuvenated. Which goes to say that the world we're on right now, it's lacking. It's crumbling. It's dysfunctional. It's broken. It needs to be fixed. And that is exactly right, isn't it? You don't need to look far to see that. This world is a mess. Living on this planet is like walking in a minefield. Tragedy just lurks around every corner. In 2016... there were 166,000 deaths by cancer in the UK alone. 25 million people died in Europe from the plague. there are over 1 billion recorded deaths by war in human history. Just look around us. There are broken families, ruined lives. Humanity and the world, it's just an absolute wreck. It's like Earth. It is fractured and it's rotting and it's just infested. And what will happen after death is that the earth will be made new. It will be restored and put right. It will be as it should be. Right now, we're living in something faulty. We aren't made for this world. And the new creation is what we are made for. Yeah, and it's a match made in heaven. And look what's on this new earth. Look what's on it. There's a city. Look at verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the city of God that has all of God's people in it. And it's called a holy city because of its citizens. A holy nation fills this city. God's people are in it. And in this city, there's every one of God's people and every Christian throughout the ages. So in this city, there's Abraham, there's King David, there's Nehemiah, the Apostle Paul, there's John Calvin. There are many of our ancestors, our family. These are the people that fill this city that's on the new earth. And this city and all its people are beautiful. They're described like a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I'm not married, but I see many girls on Facebook who have their profile picture as a photo of their wedding day. And they have that there because it's the best that they've ever looked. I don't mean that in a harsh way. It's just they are particularly well prepared and made up that day. And everyone says how beautiful they are on that day. Well, as a nation, this people are beautiful. Not that they kind of all look like Hollister models, but they're spiritually and morally, their holiness is beautiful. So after death, there is a sparkly new restored earth with a holy, beautiful people living on it. And this is what eternity will be like. This is what we mean. This is what the Bible means by heaven. It's a new earth, which means that heaven is physical. It's not clouds and harps and people floating like spirits. No, it's like physical. You theoretically could get your pencil case on the new earth, unzip it, take a ruler out, and begin measuring it. And that means the people on this earth have real physical bodies. The Bible teaches that all of God's people will be resurrected, just like Christ was. And they will have new bodies. Their bodies will be restored, just like this new earth is. And that means that they can never get sick. Their bodies can never wear away or get injured. 2 Corinthians 5 describes the difference between our bodies now and our resurrected bodies, like the difference between a tent and a building. So our bodies now are kind of like flimsy, temporary tents that tear, but our new bodies will be like permanent, strong buildings. So this is what heaven means. It means restoration. And it's important not to miss that there is something after death. There isn't nothing. Many people would just say we're just atoms. And after we die, our atoms just kind of disperse into the earth somewhere if we're buried. And they will say, like, we'll just stop existing, and that's the end of us. And some Christians hold that view as well. that there's an option after death, that if you don't go to heaven, that there's something called annihilation. But no, the Bible teaches that there is something after death. So that means what we do in this life matters. What we do in this life ripples out into eternity. If you're here today and you don't believe in anything after death, I have to say, you're living rather inconsistently to that belief. Because if there is truly nothing after death, then life should be chaos. Because if that's the case, if you truly believe that then none of our actions matter. We can do what we like. As long as we don't get caught. I mean, if we get caught, sure, it kind of ruins the fun. And maybe we can fear that. But really, if we don't get caught, anything's fair game, really. Nothing matters. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, says this same thing. In 1 Corinthians 15, 32, he says, "If there's no such thing as the resurrection, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." But the majority of the world don't live like that, do they? And perhaps that is because there is an underlying belief that there is something after death. And the reality is, there is an afterlife. And restored creation awaits God's people. But there's another thing that heaven means. So first, it means restoration. Second, it means dwelling with God. Dwelling with God. So what does this restored creation look like? Well, it looks like God dwelling with man on this new earth. So look to verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" The biggest wonder and joy of heaven is that God will live with us. Which means that at the moment, God is not living with us. Well, not fully anyway. God is in heaven. And it's here where we need to draw a bit of a distinction. At the moment, there is the earth below, what we're standing on, what we're breathing in at the moment. And there's also heaven above, where the angels are, where we cannot see. And it's there that God lives. You could kind of say that that's God's home. There is, of course, nowhere where God isn't. God is everywhere. But he has a particular home in heaven. That's where his glory is. That's where the full weight of his majesty and splendor and beauty, that's where it's fully revealed. God's glory is now in heaven above. And the problem with the earth at the moment is that it should be the house of God's glory. This should be where God lives. But because of sin, it no longer is. The earth right now, it's like a burgled and vandalized house that God has made and once lived in, but now it's left in ruin. And so when God restores the earth, he will restore his glory on earth. He will dwell with us. His presence will be on earth, not in like a temporary or fleeting way, but permanently here on earth in all his glory. I keep mentioning songs. There's a song that goes, "Oh heaven, it's a place on earth." Well, that isn't true yet. Heaven isn't a place on earth now, but it will be. This is the end goal of God's big master plan, to restore earth and restore his glory, so he will dwell with his people forever. But what does God's presence on earth look like? What are you picturing here? Will it be kind of a big shining light in the sky that kind of just radiates everywhere? Will it be a cloud on a mountain that we can go to and see? Well, no, it's something far greater. God dwelling with us means being face to face with the risen and glorified Jesus Christ. We cannot yet see Christ, but we will be able to see and to touch him. The Apostle Paul describes it like this in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Our current experience and knowledge of Christ, it's true, but it's like seeing in a reflection. And it's like seeing that reflection in poor light. But heaven means being face to face with Jesus Christ. It means walking with him. It means speaking with him. It means light rays hitting his skin and going into our eyeballs. And when that happens, all people on earth will say, he is our God. He will be king over this creation. And all people will bow down and worship him. We will be able to bask in the glory of our God and Saviour. And this is what we're made for." Again, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, he says, "We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." If you think this earth is your home now, if you think after this service you're going back to your home, that's not true. No, home means the new creation. It means being with Jesus. That's where we're meant to be. So you know the phrase, home is where the heart is. No, it's more like home is where the Lord is. So if you're a Christian here today, this is the great prize we will receive after death. But the whole notion of living with this hope of heaven, this doesn't sit right with everyone. Richard Dawkins once said, "It's possible that people do nice things because they're religious. One reason might be that they're hoping for a reward in heaven, which is not a very noble reason." So Dawkins thinks that the idea that people look to heaven as a reward for doing good works is not very honourable. Well, just a few comments on that. Well, this doesn't apply well to Christianity. We don't earn heaven through our good works. Christ has won heaven for his people. And so now we serve Christ willingly through good works. But also, Dawkins doesn't quite see that everyone is trying to do nice things with a reward in sight. Christians just have Christ in their sight when they do it. Everyone is hoping for some kind of reward when they do nice things. So when the atheist helps the old lady to cross the road, he may not be looking for a reward in heaven, but he is looking for a reward on this earth. And that may be approval from the people around him. That reward may be just feeling good about helping. That reward may simply be the satisfaction of saying, I followed my principles that I have. Whatever it may be, we all serve something. Christianity just shows us the true and greatest thing to serve. So looking to heaven and Christ, it is not ignoble. It is a wonderful privilege. It's what we're made for. Jesus Christ is the prize we will get in heaven. So we need to ask ourselves, do you want Jesus now? Do you long to see him and know him more? Do you love him? Because if you don't, you won't enjoy heaven. Jesus is the centerpiece of heaven. So in this life, get to know Jesus more. Grow in your love for him. Whet your appetite for heaven. And there's one final thing to see about heaven. So heaven means restoration of creation. It means dwelling with God. And finally, heaven means no sin. No sin. Look to verse 4. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Heaven is quite simply amazing. It's a joyous place with no pain, no injury, no sadness, no crying, no regret, no death. Ever. And that is because sin has been eradicated, never to return again. We all in this room have been painfully affected by sin and death. I'm sure for many people here, your lives have been ravaged and torn apart by death. It may have been a loss of a family member, a wife, your dad, your friend, a sister, a child. And that death, it's like a weight on your heart every day. Sometimes it's lighter, sometimes it's heavier. It may have happened a long time ago, but the pain is always there. And how many of us have been destroyed by sin? Shattered families, broken friendships, constant battles with our sinful desires. Think about Eric Clapton. Think about how many tears he has cried over his son. Think about how many tears have been shed in this room just by how terrible this world is. And in heaven, that will be no more. There will be everlasting, non-stop joy and happiness forever. Suffering will be a thing of the past. Death will no longer be kind of looming over us. Our bodies will never wear away or get old. We will experience nothing but joy forever. Have you ever had those moments in life? One of those moments in life that's just so incredible, you think to yourself, oh, I just wish this would never end. Well, heaven will be like that moment, but even better. And the thing is, it will never end. In fact, it will get better. We will get to know God's glory more and more as we explore this new creation, as his glory is revealed to us more. But you may ask, how can we enjoy heaven if we've gone through all this pain in this life? Well, even the pain of our memories would have disappeared. Because look at the end of verse 4. The end of verse 4. For the former things have passed away. All the suffering of this world would have passed away. Even the pain of our memories. Not necessarily the memories, but the pain of it, the sting of those memories, would have passed away. And at that time, God will declare three powerful words. Look at verse 6. He will declare, "It is done." God's master plan of redemption is complete. Creation is restored. Everything is and will be perfect. That is what awaits God's people. That is the genuine hope Christ brings. And if the whole notion of heaven seems ridiculous to you, just look how ridiculous the other option is. No afterlife. Just meaningless pain and suffering in this life, just unexplained suffering in this world, just unspeakable horrors, tears that will never be wiped away, and that's it. That's life. Move on, get over it. Well, the wonderful news of the gospel is that Christ cares about our suffering. He knows that this isn't how life should be. We are made for heaven, and he will bring his people into it. All those who trust in him as their Lord and Savior, he will resurrect on the last day and give them eternal life in this new creation. And God will be glorified as he should be. That's what the cross and the resurrection achieved. And it really is coming. But it's not coming for everyone. Look to verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. There are many who will not be led into this new creation. There will be eternal life for God's people and eternal death for those who aren't. If you don't go to heaven, you will go to hell. There is no sin in heaven. So if your sin hasn't been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross, then you will not be a part of this heaven. You will miss out on the joy and glory of the new creation. And instead, you will be punished in hell forever. But Christ is calling you now to join him in the new creation. He offers forgiveness of your sins and redemption from the horrors of this world. He is handing us heaven for free, forever, right now. And if you are trusting in Christ today, don't ever let go of him. We need to fix our eyes on the joy of heaven so that we cling to Christ tighter and tighter. We will see him one day. So keep going. Don't let go of him. He will save us from this misery around us. Christ is the one who will bring us into the joy and glory of heaven. So that's what the Bible says about heaven. But the real question is, are you trusting in the only person who can bring us there? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that is in heaven. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring us there. We thank you for the hope that we have in this life. Father, do please help us and strengthen us to keep our eyes on eternity, to never lose sight of Jesus Christ. Help us to long for him, to want him, and to cling to him tighter. We thank you for the redemption of the body that awaits for us. And we pray that many people you would show mercy to and bring into the new creation. Heavenly Father, we await the coming glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.